Hi, I'm Debbie. Welcome to the Chaos Catalyst podcast, the go-to podcast for leaders who want to turn chaos into growth. Are you keen on stepping up your leadership game or discovering fresh approaches for your team or organization? Stay tuned for advice and anecdotes from people just like you. Welcome to the Chaos Catalyst podcast. I'm Debbie. And in this episode, I want to share with you what happens when a leadership team environment becomes so toxic that the situation is no longer viable. Twice in my career, I've observed situations where a leader was expelled by their own team. The team reached a point where they no longer wanted to collaborate with them. When the environment becomes overwhelmingly toxic, the strategies used to navigate the chaos can often take extreme measures. And for confidentiality reasons, obviously I won't be sharing any particular details about these teams, but I do want to describe some common ways that can help you detect a toxic situation and figure out a way to get out of it. The first method I want to share with you is looking at your team or organization as an ecosystem. The easiest way to look at an ecosystem is using the example of a forest or a garden. When you have a happy and thriving ecosystem, you can see that the forest is green, it's luscious, it's well-fed, it's hydrated. The animals are happily jumping around, you know, the squirrels are jumping from one place to the next, and there's plenty of food. And that are some of the elements of a thriving ecosystem. On the other hand, when an ecosystem is struggling and trying to survive, you see other symptoms. Maybe the trees are dry, the wood is cracking, you know, branches are on the floor, the leaves are dry, the colors are more brownish, the animals are less energetic, they need to struggle to find food, and there's a general feeling of shortage. There's not enough food, not enough water, not enough nutrition to keep us going. And this obviously results in a lack of energy in the overall ecosystem. And in a similar way, you can look at your team or your organization. How are people thriving? Are they happy? Are they bouncing around? Are they laughing? Are they sharing jokes? Is there creativity? Is there banter? Is there room to think out of the box? Or on the other hand, are people too busy to even look up and say good morning? Are they running from one thing to the next? Do they have a very superficial breath pattern? This is also something that you can notice when people are under high stress. So in general, just by looking at the overall symptoms of your team or organization, you can see whether this ecosystem is flourishing or struggling. So that would be one way to look at your team. The second thing I want to talk about is how can you recognize a toxic leader? What do toxic leaders do? What is some of the typical behavior? And maybe, you know, there's plenty of things that you can also find on the internet, but maybe I want to highlight five things that I see toxic leaders do that have a detrimental impact on the team. The first behavior is a divide and conquer attitude. These type of leaders like to control and dominate their team members rather than empowering them. So these type of leaders would typically share different portions of information with one team member versus the other team member. They generally do not share important information in a team setting, but they rather do it one-on-one so they can control who has which portion of the information. And they would also share information about other team members to the person they're talking to. For instance, Marsha has promised to do this, but you know, she's not really capable, so I'd rather have you check up on her work when she's done, etc., etc. So they give this idea that sometimes either you're in the boat with them and they give you special treatment and that they think of you higher as of the other people, but really this is a tactic to divide and conquer. So that would be the first very important characteristic that toxic leaders show. The second characteristic is lack of empathy. These leaders do not have the capacity or the capability to put themselves in other people's shoes. So they don't understand what is the impact of their communication or what is the impact of their actions on people in the team. So this total lack of empathy leads to them doing actions and not really thinking through what the effect is. And this can cause friction, this can cause frustration. People don't understand why is he doing this. And I haven't figured out yet, and of course I'm not talking about, you know, the toxic leaders as all having the same characteristics. So sometimes I'm not sure whether this is a lack of understanding, a lack of skill, or whether it's intentional. But often enough, I think that honestly they lack the skill to be empathetic and to think about what does this mean for the people in my team if I take this decision. A third characteristic would be bad communication. We already talked about it in the first point, the divide and conquer, them being very selective in which information they're sharing with whom. They tend to share different information with people who have more power versus people who have less power. So they're very conscious of the power structures in the team and the organization, and they use different communication methods for those different groups. Because of the lack of empathy, which we talked about in the second point, they also do not think about the impact of their message on people. So that's a second reason why their communication can be considered as bad. And they often really just don't care. They just want to get things done. They want to have the control. They want to give the orders, bark the orders, and then get the results back. So they're not the best listeners. They're not the best at having a healthy dialogue. So this is definitely a third point. The fourth point is directly linked to a huge source of frustration, and that is unethical behavior. So this behavior can range from blatantly lying to people, giving them information that is not true, gaslighting them, so giving them the impression that it's all their fault or they misunderstood, even though last week they did say that they were going to do A, B, or C. This week they say, no, what you're talking about, I totally did not say this. And they would come up with so-called proof to support their behavior and make you feel like you're an idiot or you didn't understand and that the blame is on you for not understanding how this is working. So that's number four, unethical behavior. And then you have number five, which to me as a coach is a huge signal, a huge red flag. That's the resistance to feedback. When people are unwilling to learn, unwilling to correct their behavior, unwilling to accept the feedback that they either get from me as an external coach or from the people in their team, then I know, okay, we're dealing with a potential toxic leader here. So these are the five traits that you can use to recognize a toxic leader. And of course, there are many more, but definitely the part on divide and conquer, the lack of empathy, and the resistance to feedback are huge red flags to me. So I hope you can use these traits also to determine whether a person or a leader in your organization has toxic behavior. Next to that, I also look at team symptoms. So what are some of the first symptoms I notice as a coach when there's a toxic environment? So on one hand, you have the behavior of the toxic leader or the toxic participant of the team. But on the other hand, you also see the effects on the team. So I already explained a bit about an ecosystem and how you can distinguish between a flourishing ecosystem and a surviving or struggling ecosystem. And you have the same in teams. So basically, the first thing I notice when I step into a team is the negative atmosphere and the lack of trust. Things don't work. People are sick of it. People don't trust each other. People don't see a way forward. It's all very negative, and people don't actually want to work on the situation anymore. Another thing I notice usually is high stress levels in the team that can lead to burnouts or turnover. This is a huge red flag. If this happens repeatedly, something is wrong in the system. And you can see it in people because everybody is in survival mode. So you have these four strategies in survival mode, right? You have the fight, the flight, the freeze, or the fawn. The fight is either people start working even harder or they become also aggressive and lose their skills to empathize and be mild. Other people flee, so they go in flight mode. They take themselves out of the situation. They just withdraw in their offices and you don't see them. Or nowadays with working from home, it's even easier to withdraw. So these people take themselves out of the situation. Then you have the people who freeze and get paralyzed and don't really know what to do anymore because they're stuck. So these people freeze and they become unproductive. And then the last category is people who have a tendency to fawn or to please or to be extra service oriented or to swallow their own needs in the situation and just try to please the other person. So these are four survival modes. And typically we tend to have a preference for one of these four, but obviously we all know them and we all use them. So these are some indications, some symptoms that I see when a team is in a toxic environment. In general, the team is not productive, the output is low, there's very, very little energy. And the team can be split in several sub-teams. People have different agendas. And in my very early days as a coach, I thought, okay, so if there's a toxic leader, then we just remove the leader and we put in a new leader and then everything will go back to normal and the team will be productive again. But because of the systemic truth, because of the impact of the toxic leader, so it may start with the toxic leader, but it also brings patterns in the team behavior. And these patterns are not easy to erase when you just replace the toxic leader. So what I often see is that the loyalty lines, so these are, if you would draw a picture of the team with all dots for the participants, you can draw lines between the participants and loyalty lines that are not very thick. So for instance, there's very low trust between two people, so you would more have a dotted line versus between other people there can be very thick lines. It's almost like a highway, you know, where we almost think the same thoughts at the same time because we trust each other so much and we know each other so well. So in toxic teams, also these loyalty lines between different team members have had an effect of the toxic environment. People start to distrust each other. People start to doubt each other. People start to think, because of this general feeling of the lack of trust, it also has a reflection on the rest of the team members. And this you cannot erase by just replacing the toxic leader. This can lead to several sub-teams that even depending on the topic that they're discussing, they can change. So the loyalty lines change depending on the topic. People are really trying to survive and looking for comrades, looking for partners in crime to survive in this very hostile environment. So voila, just a short recap. We talked about how you can look at teams by means of looking at them as an ecosystem and whether they're thriving or struggling. Then we talked about the characteristics of a toxic leader. And then we talked about the symptoms you can observe in a team that is trying to perform in a toxic environment. So how can you get out of this toxic environment? So it's one thing to recognize it, but obviously the reason why I get called is to fix the situation. And in my early days as a coach, I was quite naive and I've always had this can-do attitude. So we can fix this. If everybody's willing, we will fix this. And I had to accept that this is not the case. And one of the tools in my toolbox that has proved very helpful to distinguish between a situation that is still salvageable and a situation that cannot be saved anymore is Glassel's conflict escalation ladder. And I will put a link in the show notes so that you can have a look at it as well, because it's much easier to see it as a visual representation than me just talking about it. So basically, this ladder consists of nine steps that lead you into the abyss. So there's nine stages in a conflict escalation, and each step represents a threshold that you need to get over. So that can be an event, it can be an email, it can be a promise that has been broken, it can be whatever happens in the team or whatever behavior that the toxic leader exhibits can lead to a step down the ladder. And the lower you go, the closer you get to the abyss. And when once you fall in the abyss, there's no more saving. So let's look at these nine steps. I'm not going to go into detail of all the nine steps, but the nine steps are divided in three categories or three phases, if you will. Phase one is called the win-win phase. So this phase is the phase where you have discussions, the opinions get a bit harsher, and eventually it leads to no words but action. So people start to act rather than talk about it anymore. But this is still a phase that you can get out of if you have good communication skills in the team and there's willingness to get out of this situation. This is a situation that you can fix amongst yourself. So that's phase one, win-win. You can solve this in your own environment. Then we come into phase two, which we call the win-lose situation or win-lose phase. And this is a phase where you really need an external party, a mediator, a team coach to help you navigate the chaos in which you find yourselves. Because this is the phase in which people start to play dirty games. There are maybe threats or harsh demands. The conflict is spreading. So even people outside of the team are starting to feel it. People are feeling high stress. There are coalitions. You know, these subgroups are forming. So this is a phase that is more difficult to solve. And you cannot get out of this on your own. So you need an external mediator or team coach. And then the final phase, phase three, is called the lose-lose phase. This is a phase that typically ends in court or typically ends in a resignation or a termination of the contract because it really cannot be solved without changing the composition of the team. So somebody needs to leave. So either the leader leaves or a person in the team leaves with whom he had the biggest conflict. It's just a phase that you cannot solve without legal action. So these are the three phases. And as a young coach, as I said, I thought every phase can be salvageable. And if we just spend a lot of time, a lot of energy to fix these things together, we will get out of it. And I have to admit that, you know, being more than 16 years in the business now, I have to admit that not every situation is salvageable. Sometimes people have let it to escalate too far. So as a coach or a leader, it's very important that you know how to recognize these different phases and you know how to build a team that has sufficient communication skills to start reversing the ladder as soon as possible. So also the de-escalation process to get you out of the conflict is a step-by-step process. And to climb up the ladder again, you need also to get over these thresholds and you need to do certain actions to get there. So it's a step-by-step process and sometimes it takes months or even years. And obviously I get called often to fix situations like these. And one of the first things that the leader or the person who is calling me to solve the conflict is asking me, so how long will it take to solve this? And then my question to them is, how long has this conflict been lingering? And if they're telling me, you know, this is actually something that has been there for 10 years, then my reply is, then you cannot expect that this will be solved in 10 weeks, not even 10 months maybe. Sometimes we need to deprogram a lot of these systemic behaviors that have seeped into the DNA of the organization. And this deprogramming and learning new behaviors takes a lot of time. So what can you do when you're in a toxic lead team? As a participant, it is very hard to change anything, because your appraisal and your further future often depends on the actions you take and the position you take towards your leader. I do want to give some advice, because it's not just about sticking it out and, you know, trying to survive. I think the most important advice I can give here is, first, regain your energy and center yourself. Because sometimes we are so swamped in this chaos and this toxicity that we are no longer in touch with who we are and what we really want. So this is the first step. Regain energy, slow down, and center yourself. Get back in touch with your feelings, your wants, your needs, and your vision of the situation. So that's step one. Step two is regaining clarity on who you are and what you want to contribute to the environment. Who are you and who do you want to be in this situation? What is it that you can do? What is it that you can offer to the team? And then step three, if you think it's feasible to make these changes, try to make them and find a coalition to help you. You will not change this on your own. You need a coalition. You need other team members to be on your side and to help you make these changes. And as a final and very pressing advice, if it starts to weigh too much on your health, get out. Don't forget, the group always wins. As an individual, you cannot turn a toxic situation around on your own. The problem, as I said, is usually much deeper than just the leader. There are patterns, there are systemic forces at play that you cannot change on your own. So when you feel that this is weighing too much on your health, you're losing sleep over it, you're getting migraines, your stress levels are through the roof, get out. Voila. So that would be my advice to a participant in a toxic team. As a coach, an external coach, or a team leader, there are other things you can do. I would really advise, as a first step, to really get objective about the behavior of this toxic person. What is actually happening? Because when it happens once, it's a random event. When it happens twice, it's coincidence. And when it happens three times, it is a pattern. What patterns do you see in his or her behavior in the last 3 months that you can see this is really a pattern? That would be the first thing to do. Second thing to observe is, what is the effect of this behavior on the team? How is the ecosystem doing? How is their energy? How is their stress level? And then the third thing to check, where are you on the escalation ladder of Glassel, the ladder I shared with you before? Is this situation still salvageable? Remember those three distinct zones in the Glassel ladder. Can you solve this on your own? Do you need external help? Or is this something beyond savior? Once you've done this investigation, give clear feedback to the person who is exhibiting this toxic behavior and share the consequences with them if they don't change their behavior. Obviously, you need to give them a chance to change. If they're really toxic, they will resist the feedback. They will not change their behavior. They will point fingers and blame others for the situation. So then, if you're the leader of this team, if you have the capacity and the power to remove them from the team, you need to remove them. You need to, well, I don't know what are the options in your organization, but maybe they can go to a place in the organization where they can do less damage. Maybe an expert role rather than a leading role or a team role. So remove them from the situation. To take a solid decision, you need to consider the cost of having this person in this team on the rest of the organization if you let them sit there. Because these are hard decisions and there will be repercussions in behavior. There will be hard discussions. There will be maybe even some aggression if you have to have these talks with this person, but you need to consider the cost of not removing them from the situation. What will be the effect on the rest of the team? What will be the effect on the organization? And don't underestimate this. If you tolerate toxic behavior, people will copy this behavior because apparently this is the way to success in your organization. So these were some tips to get some clarity on what is toxicity, what is the effect on the team. Where are we in our escalation and what can we do to get out of it? So I hope you found these tips useful. And if ever you find yourself in a situation that you don't know how to solve, you can always reach out to me and we can have a chat to see what would be a good next step for you to take. Thank you so much for listening and thank you so much for your dedication to contributing to more healthy organizations and removing toxicity. Looking forward to sharing a new podcast with you next time. Take care.